Pastor, teacher, and author Adrian Rogers has introduced people all over the world to the love of Jesus Christ and has impacted untold numbers of lives by presenting profound truth simply stated. Thanks for joining us for this message. Here's Adrian Rogers.
Now I want you to take your Bible tonight and turn to 1 Kings chapter 2. We're going to talk tonight on this subject, the Judas of the Old Testament. The Judas of the Old Testament. 1 Kings chapter 2, and we begin reading in verse 5. Now, David is coming to the end of his reign. We're going to skip way ahead, therefore, in our study of the life of David, and talk about something that happened right at the end of his reign, as he's getting ready to turn things over to his son Solomon. And then we're going to go backward in the scripture and bring us back up to the point where we started tonight. Now, David is speaking to Solomon, his son, and he says in verse 5, "Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner, the son of Ner, and unto Amasa, the son of Jether, whom he slew, and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and in his shoes that were on his feet. And now notice the command, do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his hoar head, that is his white head, his aged head, go down to the grave in peace." David pronounced judgment upon Joab. Joab was the Judas of the Old Testament, and he was an unusual man. He was a remarkable man because outwardly he seemed to love David. Outwardly he seemed to be loyal to David. Outwardly he served David. But when it came to the very end, he ended up under the judgment and the wrath of David. He spent all of his life serving David, yet he truly never loved David, and ultimately he was judged by David. Now, this man Joab was a very formidable man. He was a very outstanding man. He was a man among men. And Joab would have gone to the top in any profession, anywhere, any place. That's the kind of a man he was. If you'd ever wanted to have a man on your side, you would have wanted Joab to be on your side. The way that Joab got to be David's commander-in-chief, and incidentally, he was David's commander-in-chief. He was David's right-hand man. You remember, right after David was crowned king, and actually we're going to go back and talk about what happened when David was crowned king, because we're going to see a parallel of the things that happened when Jesus is crowned king. And one of the things that happened when David was crowned king was that there was a Jebusite stronghold that had been in the land since the days of Joshua, and nobody had been able to take that Jebusite stronghold. But when David was crowned king, immediately that stronghold fell. And incidentally, and we're going to talk about it in greater length later, when Jesus is crowned king, you're going to find all kinds of strongholds in your life that are going to fall. But here was this Jebusite stronghold. It was so strong that they laughed and mocked at the armies that came up against it. And they were so secure that they said, "Listen, we, even the blind people and the lame people, can defend our stronghold." But David said, "Whoever takes that stronghold will be my commander-in-chief." And old Joab said, "I'll take it." And he did. What courage he had. What strength he had. What wisdom he had. What daring he had. What cunning he had. He was a man among men. And he cared not for the insults of the Jebusites. He cared not for the armaments of the Jebusites. He took that city and delivered it to David. And he became David's commander-in-chief. And yet, it's such a tragic story. He fought alongside David. He fought for David. He worked for David. He respected David. He looked up to David. And yet he spent his entire life for David, only to receive at the end of his life the wrath of David and the judgment of David. I say that's a tragedy. That is sad. The only thing I can think of that is sadder is for a modern day Christian to be in the church, work in the church, admire Jesus, respect Jesus, fight for Jesus, serve Jesus, and to die and go to hell under the wrath of Jesus, and some will. And so I want you to pay very close attention to a man who was very loyal and very lost. And I'm afraid that many may be in that same kind of a situation. They may be like Joab in the Old Testament. They may be like Judas in the New Testament. Now I want you to notice the loyalty of this man. The loyalty of this man. What a loyalty he had for David. If you were to ask anybody, who is David's right-hand man? Who is the man that you can trust to stand by David? Outwardly, they would have all said, Joab. Joab is the man that's loyal to David. It doesn't matter whether it's dangerous. It doesn't matter whether it's desirable or not desirable. You're going to find Joab standing for David and fighting for David. He was loyal to David, but he never really loved David. He never really opened his heart to David. And what he did with David ultimately depended upon what David did with him. Now, David, you know, is a picture of Jesus. David is an Old Testament type, prophecy, illustration of Jesus. Both are of the tribe of Judah. Both are God's anointed kings. Both were first rejected, and then both were enthroned. And so David pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a type, a picture of Jesus. But now Joab was seemingly loyal to David, outwardly loyal to David. Let me tell you what kind of a loyalty he had. First of all, he had a family loyalty. You're in 1 Kings chapter 2. Look in verse 5. Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, or Zeruiah, did unto me. Well, who is Zeruiah? Who is this? Why, this was David's sister. And Joab was David's nephew. And so Joab had known about David ever since he was a little boy. You see, David's sister was there in the tent, doubtless, peeking through the tent curtains when old Samuel the prophet came to anoint the king of Israel. And you remember the seven sons of Jesse came in there, and I think seven is significant. I believe it speaks of the perfection of the flesh. These seven sons were there, but none of them were good enough. And old Samuel, knowing that God had his king, one by one they appear, and one by one the old prophet shakes his head and says, this is not the one. There must be someone else. And then they remember that boy who's keeping the sheep, that shepherd boy David, and Samuel says, send for him, go get him. And off for the hills they run, and they come back with little David. And certainly David's sister was there, Joab's mother was there. And she saw that holy prophet, thank God. She saw that holy prophet get out the holy oil and pour it on David's head. And she saw then from that time on, she knew that David was God's anointed king. He was the one that was chosen of God. And that God had decided that David would rule the throne. And I believe that when little Joab was born to David's sister, she said to him, now, Joab, I want you to remember that David is the man of destiny. I was there when he was anointed. He is God's man. And Joab, I want you to live for David. I want you to give your heart to David. The future is with David. You stay with David. You stick with David. David is God's anointed. From the time that Joab was a little boy, doubtless he knew this. And that's one reason that he was loyal to David. He's like many people who are raised in the church. And from the very time that they can first hear and understand, they learn about Jesus. Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord. Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus is God's anointed Messiah. Jesus is the Savior, the Lord. And just like Joab, we've heard it from youth. I'm talking about Joab's loyalty to David. And first of all, he had a family loyalty. He could hardly remember a time when he'd not been told about David. But not only did he have a family loyalty, he had what I want to call a fundamental loyalty. He believed the right things about David. For example, he was convinced that David was the Savior of Israel. It was very obvious that David was God's Savior in that day. He could remember the story of how David went out and fought Goliath, and how he had defeated Goliath, and that one man had won the battle for them all. It was a vicarious battle, and David had won it, and David had overcome him that had the power of death, that is, Goliath. He was victorious. And certainly, Joab knew that David was Savior. But not only did he know that David was Savior, he knew that David was sovereign. Joab saw how Abner had tried to set up another king, and we're going to talk about that. His name was Ish-bosheth, and he was a rival king. He had no right to be king. Abner tried to set up Ish-bosheth as king, but Joab would have no part of it. And Joab knew that David was supposed to be king. He was sovereign. He was Lord and king, and Joab stood up for this. He knew it was right, and he fought for it. But not only was he convinced that David was Savior, not only was he convinced that David was sovereign, he was also convinced that David was sufficient. He had been around David enough to know that David was a most remarkable man. He had seen how David single-handedly had united the 12 tribes of Israel. He had seen how David had been such a king that David brought in both peace and prosperity and unity. He had seen how David was the embodiment of all of Israel's ideals. In this one man, David, we see a shepherd and a soldier. We see a king and a prophet. We see a musician and a poet. He was a diplomat. He was an administrator. He was a friend. He was a hero. He was all of it. What more could you want? If Israel had David, it didn't seem like they needed anything else. If they didn't have David, it seemed as though they had nothing. And Joab believed all of this. Not only did he have a family loyalty, he had a fundamental loyalty. He saw David as Savior, sovereign, and sufficient. But not only this, he also had a fighting loyalty. As you study the life of Joab, and we're going to see in a moment, he would fight for David just like that. He was on the battlefield for David. He risked his life for David. He took the Jebusite stronghold for David. And had you ask, who is David's most courageous soldier? Who is his most faithful servant? People would have said, Joab, of course. But now wait a minute. In spite of the fact of his loyalty, there was still something missing. And I'm going to show you in a moment that there was a fatal flaw in Joab. And not only are you going to see his loyalty, but you're going to see his lostness. Somehow he never, ever really gave his heart to David. He admired David. He fought for David. And yet he never surrendered to David. He knew that David was Savior. He knew that David was sovereign. He knew that David was sufficient, and yet he had not given David his heart. And he's like so many people who occupy the pews of churches across America. They have been raised from children to have a family loyalty. They have heard so much of the Word of God that they have a fundamental loyalty. And they have worked so hard for the Lord that they have a fighting loyalty for the Lord. And yet they have never, ever been born again. They have never, ever really been saved. They are going to die and go to hell because there's something missing in their relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, we've talked a little bit about the loyalty of Joab. I want us to think for a moment about the lostness of Joab. What caused this man, Joab, to receive the judgment of David? Why would David come to the end of his life and tell his son Solomon, and for Joab, don't you let his white head go down to the ground in peace? You let my judgment fall upon him. Why is it? What happened to him? Well, we'll search the record, and you're going to find out that in all of it, you can never find a place where Joab truly, from his heart, loved David. Joab was a man who loved the kingdom without loving the king. He loved the power, but he didn't love the person. He loved the glory, but he did not love the glorious one who was God's anointed. And you can see in the way that Joab dealt with three rebellions that came up against David that Joab really never, ever had the heartbeat of King David. Let's go now to 2 Samuel chapter 3. Turn backward in the materials, would you please? 2 Samuel chapter 3. And I want us to begin reading in verse 20 and see what Joab did to a man named Abner. And so Abner came to David to Hebron. I'm reading 2 Samuel 3, verse 20. So Abner came to David to Hebron, and 20 men with him. And David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said unto David, I will arise and go and will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desireth. And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. Now, I want to tell you, this is the same Abner who had once rebelled against David. This is the same Abner who had wanted to set up a wrong king, Ishbosheth, and make him the king. But later on, Abner saw the wrongness of his ways. After a while, Abner saw the beauty of King David, the rightness of King David, the righteousness of King David, that King David was God's appointed man, God's anointed man. And Abner repented of his ways. He came to David. He asked David for forgiveness. David forgave him. David made a feast for him. They had fellowship. And Abner said to David, David, I'm going to bring as many people to your side as I can. I love you. And I want everyone to be in your kingdom. That's what 2 Samuel 3 verses 20 and 21 tell us. But now skip on down to verse 26. And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again to the well of Sirah, but David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. Now, here's a strange thing. David loved Abner. David forgave Abner. David wanted fellowship with Abner. Abner loved David. Abner was going to bring people to follow David. But Joab, who was David's commander-in-chief, took this man off and stabbed him in the back. And he represents so many people who claim to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet they never, ever have the mind of Christ. They never can deal properly with those whom Jesus has forgiven. They cannot see a soul forgiven. They cannot understand someone who has been forgiven and made right with God. And so they always are bearing grudges. They're always bearing resentments because they have not the mind of Christ. I wonder, do you have the mind of Christ? Do you think as Jesus thinks? And therefore, do you love as Jesus loves? And do you deal with those whom Jesus has dealt with as Jesus would deal with them? You know, one of the saddest things in the world is to see people who knife other people in the back under the guise of Christianity. And they have a drawn sword, they have a dagger, and they're arguing and disputing and fighting among themselves and yet claiming to love the Lord Jesus. I want to tell you something, friend. You cannot claim to love the Lord Jesus Christ and knife those that he loves. I don't care where your membership is. I don't care whether yours is a family loyalty, a fundamental loyalty, and a fighting loyalty. If you're knifing those that Jesus loves, you haven't been saved. You haven't been saved. This is what old Joab did. He never, ever really had the mind of Christ. But not only did he disdain the mind of David, I want you to notice that he also distressed the heart of David. I want you to turn to another passage, if you will. Now turn to 2 Samuel chapter 18. And I want you to notice another episode. Not only what Joab did to Abner, but I'm going to show you what Joab did to Absalom. I'm reading 2 Samuel chapter 18, beginning in verse 5. And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. And all of the people heard when the king gave all the captain's charge concerning Absalom. So the people went out unto the field against Israel. And the battle was in the wood of Ephraim, and where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David. And there was a great slaughter that day of 20,000 men, for the battle there was scattered over the face of all the country. And the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. That is, a lot of people got tangled up in the underbrush and were beaten to death there trying to get out of the brush, and they were trapped and snared in the brambles and so forth. And so he said, the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. And now verse 9, and Absalom met the servants of David. And Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head was caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. And a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak. And Joab said unto the man that told him, and behold, thou sawest him? Why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle. And the man said unto Joab, though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put forth mine hand against the king's son. For in our hearing the king charged thee and Abishai and Ittai, saying, beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise I would have wrought falsehood against mine own life. For there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself wouldest set thyself against me. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom, and he slew him. Now Absalom was David's son, and he had rebelled against David, horribly rebelled against David. He tried to usurp the throne from David. And David said to Joab, and he said to his other men there that day, look, I know what he's done. I know what he deserves. But I want you to hear me and hear me well. Regardless of what he's done, and regardless of what he deserves, I love him. He's my son. I want to show him mercy. I want to extend my grace to him, and so therefore deal gently with the young man Absalom for my sake. All of us remember the story of how Absalom ran under that huge oak tree, and his head and his hair got entangled there in the limbs, and he's left dangling, suspending. He cannot free himself. And how cruel and wicked Joab came and found him there and drove 3 daggers through his heart, and Joab's other men surrounded him and hounded him and pummeled him to the death and broke the heart of David. Now I want to tell you that not only did Joab not have the mind of David, he did not have the heart of David. Joab could not love like David loved. I want to tell you something else, friend. The acid test as to whether or not you're a Christian is not whether you have a family loyalty and a fundamental loyalty and a fighting loyalty. The acid test is, do you love as Jesus loves? Do you love? You see, Abner could not deal with those whom David had forgiven, and Abner could not deal with those whom David wanted to forgive. He had forgiven Abner, But Joab stabbed him in the back. He wanted to forgive Absalom, but Joab stabbed him 3 times in the heart. Now, I want to ask you a question tonight. I don't want to know whether you've joined the church. I don't want to know whether you work in the church, whether you sing in the choir, whether you know doctrine, whether you fight for the faith. I want to ask you a question. Do you love those that Jesus loves? If not, you are, dear friend, in Joab's crowd. And you're going to receive the wrath of Jesus. Do you love the lost? Do you love the rebels? Continue to read here in 2 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 33. And see how the heart of David was broken. In 2 Samuel chapter 18 verse 33. And the king was much moved. And he went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he wept, he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." David loved this rebel so much, he would have died for him, just as Jesus died for us. What a picture of the love of God. But Joab could never understand that. He did not love as Jesus loved, or as David loved. He could not think as David thought. Continue to read in 2 Samuel 19, verses 1 and 2. "And as it was told Joab, behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom. And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people, for the people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son." But I want you to notice the reaction of Joab to that. Look in verses 5 and 6. "And Joab came into the house of the king and said, Thou hast shamed this day the faces of all thy servants, which this day have saved thy life and the lives of thy sons and of thy daughters and the lives of thy wives and the lives of thy concubines, in that thou lovest thine enemies and hatest thy friends." He could not have been more wrong when he said that David hated his friends, but he could not have been more right when he said that David loved his enemies. "For thou hast declared this day that thou regardest neither princes nor servants for this day. I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all we had died this day, then it had pleased thee well." He's sarcastic now with David because David wanted to show his love to Absalom. Now pay attention. What was wrong with Joab? He did not have the mind of David. He could not think as David thought. He did not have the heart of David. He could not love as David loved. Nor did he have the will of David. He did not will as David willed. I want you to turn to a final passage now in 1 Kings chapter 1. Go back where to 1 Kings for a moment and look in chapter 1. And I want to read verses 5 and 7. You're going to find out that there was another one of David's sons that rebelled against him. His name was Adonijah. And in 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 5, we read, "Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalteth himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run after him. And his father had not displeased him at any time, saying, Why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest, and they, following Adonijah, helped him." Now here's Joab again, trying to set up a wrong king. It was not David's will that Adonijah be king. It was David's sovereign will that Solomon succeed him on the throne. Skip on down to verses 11 and following in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 11. "Wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, Hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign, and David our Lord knoweth it not? Now therefore come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel, that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. Go and get thee in unto King David, and say unto him, Didst not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thine handmaid, saying, Assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. Why then doth Adonijah reign? Now the thing I want you to see is in verse 7 that Joab, contrary to the will of David, tries to make Adonijah king. And what I'm trying to say is this, that Joab never had the mind of David. Joab never had the heart of David. Joab never had the will of David. It was David's sovereign will that Solomon be king, but yet Joab had another way. Joab was like so many people who say, yes, I belong to Jesus Christ, but I know my rights. Yes, I belong to Jesus Christ, but I have my desires. Yes, I belong to Jesus Christ, but I have my own judgments and my own reasonings. He never, ever really had his will brought under the will of David. Now, I'm talking to some of you who are going to be just like Joab. You're going to receive the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ because outwardly you're loyal, but inwardly you're lost. You never have ever really and truly given your heart to Jesus Christ. Now, the mark as to whether or not a man is saved is not what kind of doctrine he can rattle off. You're not saved by the plan of salvation. You're saved by the man of salvation, and his name is Jesus. You're not saved by serving and fighting. As a matter of fact, the Joabs are the people who cause church fights, church splits. They'll fight for doctrine. They'll fight for what they think is right. They'll fight for the cause of Christ. And the Bible says only by pride cometh contention. There are a lot of Joabs who've wrecked a lot of churches, and in the name of their king. But they never have had the heart of their king. They never know how to deal with other people as Jesus himself would deal with them. They never really know how to forgive as Jesus forgives. They never know how to seek rebels as Jesus seeks rebels. They never know anything about the sovereign will of our great God. And so I'm asking you tonight, not do you have a family loyalty? I'm not asking you, do you have a fundamental loyalty? I'm not asking whether you're a premillennialist or whether you believe in verbal inspiration or the virgin birth. You can believe all that and go straight to hell. I'm not asking if you have a fighting loyalty. I'm not asking you how many battles you fought for righteousness and whether you're in the moral majority or whatever. I want to know, do you have the heart of Jesus Christ? Do you love Jesus? Do you have the mind of Christ? Are you submitted to the will of Christ? You may be outwardly loyal, inwardly lost. You know, it's so possible to be religious but lost. And the sad thing is that those who are religious and lost are those who at least think that they need to be saved. I dare say there's some of you who are sitting here tonight wondering if they're going to hear the message when God is speaking to you. I say one of the greatest tragedies was for Joab to have fought alongside David and then to receive the wrath of David. A greater tragedy would be for you to be a member of this church, to take up the offering, to sing in the choir, to teach at the Sunday school, to give your money, to fight the battles, and still one of these days hear the Lord Jesus say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." Many people are going to die and go to hell surrounded by baptismal certificates, receipts for church offerings, Sunday school attendance awards, because they have never, ever received Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. Let me give you a verse of Scripture. It's in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22. Jesus gave this solemn warning. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." Are you sure you're saved? Does God's Spirit bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God? I'm not trying to make you doubt it. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 says, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove yourselves." Are you sure you're saved? Do you know that you know that you love Jesus? Does God's Spirit bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God? I tell you, when I'm trying to discern whether a man is a Christian or not, and I can never judge, that's not up to me to do, But when I'm looking to see, to satisfy my own heart, do you know the thing I look for? Does he love Jesus? Does he love Jesus? I'm not asking, do you love music? I'm not asking you, do you love Bible study? I'm asking, is there in your heart tonight a genuine love for Jesus? Do you have the mind of Christ? Do you have the heart of Christ? Are you submitted to the will of Christ? If not, one of these days you're going to hear him say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. As one last thing I want to say. You may not be a Christian, not even a church member. Don't let a Joab or a Judas or any other hypocrite keep you from loving the Lord Jesus. There are plenty of Joabs in the Old Testament, plenty of Judases in the New Testament and the modern world. Hypocrites come and hypocrites go, but you'll not find any fault with our wonderful King, David's greater son, the Lord Jesus. And I want you to search your heart tonight. I want to ask you this question. Are you saved? Do you love what Jesus loves? Do you love those who've been forgiven as Jesus loves those who've been forgiven? Do you love those who are rebels against Jesus as Jesus loves those who are rebels against him? Do you want his will rather than your own will? If so, you can say that you're saved. If not, you have no right to say that you're saved and going to heaven. If you want to be saved, why don't you pray a prayer tonight and ask Jesus to come into your heart? You might pray a prayer like this. Dear God, just pray it. I'm a sinner, and I'm lost, and I need to be saved, and I want to be saved. Tell the Lord that you want to be saved. And then ask him to save you for Christ's sake. Just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Just invite him in right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive my sin and save me. Will you ask him to do that right now? The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive my sin. Save me. You died for me. Save me, Lord. Ask him to do it right now. Now ask him, Lord Jesus, give me the courage to make it public. Not to be ashamed of you, because you died for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing in my heart. Amen.
If you would like to learn more about how you can know Jesus or deepen your relationship with him, simply click the Discover Jesus link on our website, lwf.org. For a copy of this message or additional resources, visit our online store at lwf.org or call 1-800-274-5683. Thank you.